So I'll be first reviewing the spherical collapse model, which is due to Pannonhalma. Next, I will be talking about ASMs and a brief review of the homogeneous equations of ASMs, which is basically a scale of field model for dark energy. And next, I will be talking about basically the effects of the model. You can see the pre-mining page. So I'll be taking we are dealing in the short pre-mining switching the well inside the Hubble radius. So we consider a perturbed pre-mining matrix. Of perturbations is a function of R and T. So, for our case, we assume that we have a spherical, we'll be dealing with the simplest model, which is basically we have the density profile as a spherical top hat. So we have initially we have a constant density profile, and we assume that this entire structure is made up of shells. So we can break this up into like number of shells. So now it's better to write the equations in the physical coordinates. This is basically we convert to linear coordinates. So this is, so long as we are in the within the Hubble radius, this is negligible. So it's approximately 4 to the same time coordinate. So in the new coordinates of Friedmann matrix. Since we are dealing with a very small perturbation, we are allowed to superimpose the potentials. So you can see this is like, since this is much less than 1, we are dealing in Newtonian regime. So for this, for a particular shell, we can write the geodesic equation for the shell. So this phi is basically using the Friedmann equation, this Friedmann equation, so in this side plus. But psi is due to the inhomogeneous perturbation, so perturbation density. So since we are dealing with only matter, we can put the pressure to 0. So the geodesic equation is. So this R and T are the new physical coordinates. So I'm just changing from capital. So if you see here, 4 pi g by 3 r square is just can write as r. So you can well, MV is the mass, MV is the background mass contained in that shell of radius r, and this we can attribute to the perturbed density mass in the shell. So now we assume that the shells do not cross each other. This is a simplification assumption that we make. So we can combine the total mass and write it as where m is the total mass inside of any given shell. So our equation is, so our geodesic equation becomes. And this can be easily integrated to the use the constant of integration. So you can identify this equation as a conservation equation for the shell, like half r naught square is the kinetic energy of the shell, and minus g m y r is the potential energy and the total energy we see. So now the solution to that equation is in terms of a parameter theta. And A and B are constants, like you know, T naught is a constant, and theta is a parameter which we can express R and T, and the constants A and B are related as. So basically, if you plot R versus T, you have starting from some R naught, and it will eventually collapse to R equal to 0. So we assume that the initial density contrast is much less than 1. So that times. So we can assume that the overdense region is expanding with the background universe. So the particular velocity is almost zero. So we can write r dot as which is the Hubble constant at time t again. So. So the kinetic energy of the shell can be written as, which is basically just half chi r. This is initial, and the initial potential energy can also be cross g m by r. This turns out to be after you substitute the mass in terms of the density and the density in terms of the function. So, where delta is the initial density function. So now we can write the total energy. So the total energy just comes out to be. So you see the total energy is negative. So since the total energy is negative, it is certain that the shell will collapse at some point. It will expand initially because it's expanding with the background, and then reach a maximum point. Since E is negative, so you can always find an R for which R dot is zero from that equation, and it will come back and collapse. So you can always, so to find the maximum radius to which the shell will go, we'll have a card. So you can list them. That is the initial reading. So it's just substituting r dot x equal to 0 in that equation. And substituting m as the in terms of the density and the density in terms of the Hubble function. So here we can find the maximum radius for the equation. And we can plug this back, we can plug the initial conditions, r is equal to some other x equal to dr, to solve for those constants a and b. And so you have AS. And B AS. So basically we fully solved the equations in terms of just the density compost. So if you look at the evolution of the density, you have, since the mass inside the shell is conserved, it will just go as 1 by r cube, and the density contrast is just a fraction of the density of the background density minus 1. And that, for very small times, it's goes as 3 theta squared by 20, the theta is still the same parameter there. And so basically in terms of time delta goes as t raised to 2 by t, which is basically the, which is basically the error. So this is, so the thing is, the structure obviously does not collapse in reality. Otherwise we won't have any. So, we say that at t equal to t collapse, which is basically corresponds to theta equal to 2 pi, the system, the structure just virilizes and due to process of internal relaxation. And so we can just find the final virial radius of the structure. To do that, you have the total energy at the maximum radius is just its potential energy. So which is basically Jm by r. And after virilization, the kinetic energy will be, the potential energy will be just minus 2e. So it's just, so you can like U as Gm by, sorry. In terms, you can write the potential energy at the virial radius in terms of the virial radius, and you can see that the virial radius is just half the maximum radius. So basically, you can calculate the final radius of the structure. So this is basically just the review of spherical collapse for dark matter. Now I go over to ASMs. So ASMs is a scalar field model for dark energy. It's, so I mean, you have quintessence as part of the models, but quintessence is of the form of some kinetic energy term minus some potential energy, and this potential parameterizes different models of quintessence. So the ASMs is a Lagrangian with non-standard kinetic terms. So if you have X as your, in a homogeneous universe, X as your kinetic part. So in ASMs, the Lagrangian has terms of higher orders of X. So this was initially proposed by Mukhanov and Barriga to explain a bit better. So they used it further to explain dark energy. Although I'll be using the Lagrangian by Schroeder. So here the Lagrangian is of the simplest form that I'll use. Yes. So well, F not F2 and X not are just constants. So you can calculate the equation of state which is first. And similarly you can calculate the CP of sum. So in general you can have this multiplied by some potential, but we are looking at the simplest form where the potential term is just one. So we again solve the equation of motion. So we can write the equation of motion. We have a homogeneous universe with the same Friedman metric, the non-product Friedman metric, and you can write the equation of motion for the scalar field. So this equation, the final equation of motion comes out to be the equation of motion in a homogeneous universe for a homogeneous field. Well, we have seen that phi is just a phi function of time. So now we can this can be easily integrated into when you convert the variable from time to the scale factor. So this just goes. Well, k is the cost of integration. So
So the Lagrangian is f of x, is that?
Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. So now we look at a particular solution where we assume that x, so long as we are in the matted operators region, we assume that x is much greater than x0, where x0 is the function. So for this region, the energy density comes out to be proportional to x squared, and if you assume that x is much greater than x0, you have and plug it back into the equation of motion. So you have x is proportional to 1 upon e squared. So rho is proportional to 1 upon a4. So this in some sense behaves like a radiation. And w is also 1 by 3 approximately because we are in this.
What is the speed of sound?
W is the equation of speed.
Speed of sound.
Speed of sound also comes out to be 1 by 3. So now we look at the, we combine both the things of ASS and spherical collapse. So we again consider the perturbed metric for the same. This is the following components. So we can, here we define x as basically x is just so just plugging this back here. So this Lagrangian is just a function of explicitly a function of x. So when you change to the physical coordinates, you can just absorb a square into the 1 upon delta by the last problem. So I just, after this, I'll be just taking the problems. So the equation of motion, I solve this equation of motion again. The whole equation of motion comes out to be this is being kept up to linear order in psi, since we are assuming that psi is much less than 1. So this is the full equation of motion for phi. We have two unknowns, psi and phi. So now we look at the equation for psi. So in the linear regime, you have since we are in the short scale, the small wavelength region, so we can write the equation for psi. Theta rho n is the matter and theta rho phi is the energy perturbation and the scale up thing. So now to solve this equation, we assume that to solve the equation of motion, we assume that the spatial derivatives of phi is, and we verify it later. So we can neglect the spatial derivatives so the equation of motion reduces to substituted for F in the equation of motion. So this can be integrated, and so this the integrated equation comes up to be. But C of R is some constant of energy. So we can express x as neglecting the spatial derivatives, and since we are in the regime of x much greater than x naught, we can solve this equation for phi naught in terms of psi. So we have phi dot in terms of psi and an arbitrary function of r. And so we can just plug this back in x, and we can print x as a function of psi and r. C1 is just some other constant. And we know that rho phi is proportional to this equal to 3f to x squared. So we have rho phi in terms of psi and an arbitrary function of r. So here I'm keeping up to linear order in psi, so all these squared terms have been integrated. So this is the energy density for scale. So now we can combine this equation and plug it back into the
sorry, can you just ask a technical question? So your phi depends on
R and D.
RMT, right? So
yeah.
So when you choose that form for the metric perturbations, you don't quite have enough symmetry to just keep that form, because you'd have a different, in principle you could have a different coefficient of the dr squared and the dr omega squared.
Yeah, we assume the longitudinal gauge in which in the perturbation equations up to linear order, the Reynolds terms and light up.
Right, but I think that's a bit more than a gauge choice. So because there isn't quite enough symmetry there to restrict to longitudinal gauge. The background is a function of T and min.
I'm saying the curvature has to be non-zero, or
no, the so
just 1 plus 2 sine, 1 minus 2 sec. Are you saying that please run the same?
Yeah, so if the background were just a function of T, you would have enough symmetry to choose that gauge. But if it's a function of T and R, would you?
Background is still a function of T. Is that perturbation?
So the background is still.
Oh, I see. So what's the. So, okay, I was thinking that was the background.
Oh, no.
Okay, fair enough. Sorry. So the X there is the.
X is.
I think I thought so. So there is, actually, the background. So when you said phi prime was much less than phi dot, is that a statement for the perturbations?
Sorry?
When you said phi prime was much less than phi dot, that's for the perturbations. Is that true?
No, not really. Because this is the total. This is not the background.
This is the perturbations.
Yeah. I mean, this is the total scalar. The new scalar field and the phi dot.
I think that's for the total thing.
I'm still confused. Because there is a phi prime over there in the X.
Sorry.
Yeah,
so
we are dropping
that. Oh, you're dropping that. Okay, so it's like, so you are dealing with an approximation with control. Okay.
So we have the equation for psi. Choose our initial density profile for KSNs also as a step function. So, and the same thing for dark matter as we've done earlier. So, we can solve for C2 of R by plugging in the initial constraint that the density of the KSN should be just a homogeneous plus the step function. So we can, there we can find C2 of R, and so the total density becomes. So this is PI as the initial time at which we set the function for just that function. So you can just, since this is a normal point line equation, and the psi at any given r just depends on the total integral of the density considered for a spherical case. So we have psi. So for r less than r naught, we have psi. This is due to the half matter of this. And this is the integral over the inhomogeneous scalar field density. This is basically this. This part is the inhomogeneous perturbation, inhomogeneous contribution of torque density and the scalar field. So, and from r greater than r naught, the you have a similar case, just integral over this delta function just goes, the step function just goes from 0 to r naught. So, now, to solve this equation, we can see that, so this term, delta rho naught times psi term, is of the order of psi squared. Because, so we expect psi to be of the order of rho 1 times r squared. And we already have 4 pi g times delta rho naught times 1, which is also of the order of psi that we expect. And if you multiply it by another psi, it's of the order of psi squared. So, and since we assume that delta phi, so in the initial condition, I assume that this equal 0.2 times rho phi b as an example. Like, so it's one order less than rho phi b. So this term also comes out to be of the order of psi squared. So, while integrating, you can keep to this the first order. So, prime psi, so for r less than r naught. Assuming now 8 pi g is this is due to the density of the ASNs and for r greater than r. It goes as 1 power squared. So now we can write the geodesic equation for the shell because we have the form of psi. So it's again minus. But this time we have to include the background, the density and pressure of PSNs as well in the equation. So this is the background of the low background is the total background density and P background is the ASM spectrum. The size. So this can be this equation can be numerically solved to give a function of R as a function of T. So we took an example for which the initial R I is 0.1 megaparsec, and this we took it as this was at 700 pressure, and we assumed that the inhomogeneous density contrast was a fraction of 0.2. Numerically solving this, the collapse comes out to be at 7 equal to 28 Without the precision of 29, this is represents of KSNs. And without the KSNs for just a dark matter without the effect of KSNs, the collapse is around 90. Oh, sorry, not 20. So, and we can also calculate the final real radius. The maximum radius for with KSNs comes out to be around slightly 0.9 times the KSNs comes out to be 0.9 times the radius that would have been without the KSNs. And so, well, that's where we are right now.
So I guess one question is, if you start with a top hat distribution for KSNs, but what should it remain top hat?
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
No. I am you can calculate back. So we can, since we know psi, we can plug it back into x and plug it back into phi and plug it back into
rho. So it doesn't remain top hat.
So if it did remain top hat, you would be assuming that the shells of KSNs also don't cross it, which is not necessary.
Mm-hmm. So you just assume it starts as top hat, and then you use that equation to say how it evolves.
Yeah. So I mean, this is a simple model, the potential term to take as one and assume quadratic and then x.
Perhaps you covered it, but what's the speed of sound in this model?
It's close to 1 by 3.
1 by 3.
1 by 3. So, so phi is 3 x squared and. So, sound is 1 by 3. Sound state is also. So I mean, we expect that, so if x was close to x naught, the equation of state becomes minus 1 and cs squared x plus c. This may be the state that we're looking at now. But yeah, I assume that in the matter of the region, x is much greater than x naught.
Sorry, yes, so how does x evolve over time?
So as long as your x is much greater than x naught, x goes as 1 upon x squared.
1 upon
x
squared.
I mean, so it has a time dependence of psi so, and through psi. But,
and then it approaches, does it approach x naught?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So the equation state is a third, but it's evolving like curvature, 1 over a squared.
That's funny, huh?
No,
it's like radiation.
For the equation state and the density goes, it's like radiation.
Yeah, this is not
wrong.
Yeah, this is not wrong.
Yeah, because it's like...
So, could this scalar field called halos supported by? Sorry. Could this chaos field kind of form halos supported by some pressure?
Maybe. I mean, if you look at KSNs in itself. It probably might because the pressure of KSNs is positive in the matter dominated region for this rectangle, and it then becomes negative. So if you allow the pressure, if you allow for long times and the pressure you allow to be negative for long times, so it may create a wide. or top for halos, it's difficult because you have an error there.
Yeah, so as x goes close to x naught,
it takes x naught, sum is very close to 0.
I guess that would be bad. Mm-hmm. It won't be able to stop itself.
Yeah.
Fully.
Mm-hmm. But you still have the pressure is negative.
Mm-hmm.
So, it may not fit. Well, my guess is it should clear the ones.
But it's okay. If it's the part that has negative pressure is homogeneous, so it's just a lamp. That doesn't keep you from collapse. Sorry. As long as speed of sound is small, then you can make small paper.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So, I mean, naive statements is this would be ruled out by the CMB, right? So, we know CMB tells you that the majority of the density of the units does not cluster. Actually.
Right,
at least in the simple. Well, CMB doesn't really constrain the value of W. What it does constrain is Compton wavelength of the dark energy vector. So if your dark energy can cluster.
But it could have a clustering part and a non-clustering part, and that's affecting your attraction.
Well, at late times, it's clustering, right?
So, I mean, you can imagine there are two parts. There's a lambda constant that doesn't talk to anything, that doesn't do anything, and the part that does constant.
Yes, I guess what is the energy density in the two components?
Well, if one is, it has a speed of sound of zero, I guess it could decay as 1 over a cube in the other part.
So what would be the, so you're saying the equation state of the partial to CS squared is zero would be zero?
Yes.
So by the time,
no.
So it gets.
That's what I'm saying, but yeah.
Sure. So Schur's paper does split the density into a constant density part plus one by two.
Yes, exactly.
What did you say?
So density has two parts, the part that is constant and another part that decays is 1 over k cubed.
Uh-huh.
That's the part that clusters like that.
Yeah, but it might not have enough time to cluster because it gets to some speed zero at very
yeah,
late
that's,
time.
Sure, that's a good point.
The limit's always weird, isn't it? Because it's
yeah.
always. It's also in that limit.
You expect
it really doesn't even have any dynamics in that limit, so what does it mean speed of sound is zero? Is it because when W goes to minus, W is exactly minus one, you couldn't have good field if it's decoupled. So it must also be some kind of perturbations to couple in that limit. Even though CS is close to zero, it wouldn't actually make any difference. It wouldn't couple back.
Oh, but that's just like dark matter plus lambda. So you have two sectors.
Yeah, exactly. So it in lambda doesn't have any fluctuation.
That's right. That's right.
So that's all I mean. The fluctuation must couple in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there is still a part that doesn't couple. The dark matter part is. So I'm trying to say that imagine dark energy has two components. One is constant, that's why one is lambda, and the second one is exactly like dark matter. I guess there is no way to say that it's not dark matter if they're not. Exactly.
Any question? Thank you.